Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without crying. Now I want to understand. I have done all that I could to see the evil and the good without hiding. You must help me if you can. Doctor, my eyes. Was I unwise to leave them open for so long?
Welcome back to What's Going On with Earl Ingram. It is that time again. And, you know, as we move towards, you know, the dark side of the planet, you know, the winter that's on its way. My conversation with Dr. Omar is always great and positive, and I love having the conversations and dialogue with him. I prefer it when it's 75, 80 degrees, but, you know, it's probably without question more valuable that we have these conversations when we are right where we are right now, the changing of the seasons. And so, as always, I welcome back my good friend and my doctor, Dr. Omar, the pharmacist, the proprietor of Welltopia Pharmacy and founder in Mequon Thingsville. Good morning to you, Dr. Omar. How you doing, my friend?
Good morning, Earl. I'm doing great. Great to talk to you today.
Yeah, it's, well, I have to say, Dr. Omar, normally you're in a warm climate. You get away. I'm glad you're here with us right now.
I can't get away. Kids are in school. I have to be with them. It's,
So, you know.
Some good days.
So, Dr. Omar, there's a subject that we're going to cover this morning that is just, you know, one of the, I guess, most dangerous subjects that impacts and affects us as human beings, and that's high blood pressure. Before we get into, let me ask you, does that affect animals as well?
That's a great question. A stressed animal is going to have problem in its blood pressure. I just kind of every day when I try to help my kids go to school, push them out of bed, seeing their what they have to do, I ask myself, oh my God, I have to repeat this on a daily basis and then work and then balance between work and life. And then that stress adds up. And everyone is feeling it, right? But animals are not complaining, but we complain, right? One of the things that happen every day, Earl, as a pharmacy, as a hybrid pharmacy, meaning I dispense so many medications that are commercially available, that are compounds. I get introduced to the newest treatments, the tirzepatide, semaglutide, the best supplements out there. I meet reps every day, but every single time I stand by the counter and I talk to a patient taking medications, every single time I see that something is related to the topic of blood pressure, whether the patient is taking a blood pressure medication or we discuss it, we talk about it, because it became kind of an expectation after 35 years of age, after 40 years of age, after 45 years of age, is that people start to take a blood pressure, high blood pressure pill. And in my consultations, I ask patients and I tell them, okay, I see a bag of medications. What if you go on a deserted island? Which one are you going to pick with you? People don't know the answer, you know? People don't know the answer, but if you have a high blood pressure medication and diabetes medication and heart medication, you're going to pick the high blood pressure medication to you with you in the deserted island. Because the challenge happens is that the blood pressure can suddenly shoot up without you knowing until it's too late. And it's not random. the blood pressure rises when your heart has to push harder against the resistance, which is coming in the blood capillaries where it needs to reach the organs. And this resistance is coming from stress, stiff arteries, from bad eating habits that increases the sodium and the salts, or even an overactive hormone system. So everyone can be affected by this challenge. And the problem is that we wait until we go to the doctor's office to check the blood pressure. And some people have high blood pressure or low blood pressure at the doctor's office. So checking blood pressure in the house gets to be very important. And I remember 30 years ago when when I was young, and my cousins, they are both doctors, when they visited always my grandpa, is that they would check his blood pressure. And I would just wonder, why are they always adamant on checking blood pressure at different times? And the reason is because blood pressure can shoot up or shoot down, and we have to normalize it 120 over 80 and be strict about it, because the change in the structure and the function of the capillaries and the blood vessels where the blood is moving 24/7, these changes have profound effects on the body. So it's a constant challenge to make sure that you have perfect blood pressure for perfect life, for prevention of cardiovascular events. And the heart is the main organ we want to protect for a healthy life. So I always try to go back to the basics when I see a patient confused about the pills and capsules of what they are taking. I tell them, we are going to go back to the basics, and we're going to make sure that you are adherent and taking the most important drug every day, and we will build on that. And when I see a patient suffering from three, four, five different things, problem with the energy, with the hormones, with the diabetes, I try to find, okay, where is the blood pressure here? And then I stick with it, and I tell the patient, okay, let's make sure we can control it. Let's make sure we can manage it. And that's where we're going to start. And maybe in 2, 3 months, we're going to check other things. And that usually get us places, you know, because there is also a dark side to the fact when someone come to the doctor's office and they tell them, you now have to start a high blood pressure medication, and they give them a calcium channel blocker like amlodipine, very low dose, very good medication, protective to the heart, and decreases the calcium from actually depositing on the capillaries and the arteries. It's a very good medication. You see the patient depressed when they come to take the medication. I am now taking medication. I feel old. And I talk to the patients and I tell them, no, you're not old, but you're protecting your life. You just need support now, and we have to be realistic, and maybe we can work on some functional medicine idea to work on the structure and the function of the arteries. Because when this system that helps to normalize your blood pressure through the day, when it gets to be in an unbalanced state, this is a sign to you that you have to worry about the pavement endothelium that is kind of covering the blood vessels, and make sure that it's elastic and it is young, and there are ways to do that.
Dr.
So
Omar,
there is hope.
there are millions of questions I could ask you as it relates to this. And because is it a foregone conclusion that as we age, high blood pressure is going to enter into our lives? Is that a foregone thing, or is that something, you know, if you had to give a percentage, you know, 80%, 90% of Americans as they, you know, reach 40 and older going to eventually wind up with high blood pressure?
The challenge and the realistic thing is, as we age, high blood pressure tends to find its way into our lives,
right?
either through the bad eating habits, through stress, lack of sleep. Some way it happens. I still have patients that walk into my pharmacy at 90 and 95 years of age, and they just take just one medication, and sometimes it's not high blood pressure medication. But the normal thing is that something happens because we're living, and we have a lot of stressors around us. So the way I think of it now is that we have been taking our lives for granted for so long, but there is a payback. And being realistic, you understand it. Now you're wise. Now you have more years into your life. You are wise. You can use the tools around you more, but your body needs help. If you ignore it, it will just bite you back, right?
Dr. Omar, I've been on high blood pressure medication, I don't know, for 15 years. I'm 71 years old. And I'll tell you something. I've never not taken my high blood pressure medication because I know people who themselves have said, I'm taking too much of this. I'm going to cut back. I'm going to cut the pills in half. And I know people who have ignored it, and I've seen the horrible things that happen when high blood pressure explodes. And your life is definitely in jeopardy. And, either through you losing it or it being altered via stroke or something for the remainder of your life. It's nothing to gamble with, is it?
This is very true, Earl. I mean, the CDC is saying that nearly half of the US adults, about 120 million people, have hypertension, and only one in four have it under control.
One in
So it's
four.
like one in four. And so the people are informed about the challenge, and then you still see and meet patients who tell you, I take it every other day. I take it when I remember it, maybe twice a week. Or
Right.
it was fine today. I didn't have to take my high blood pressure pill. And usually, when the doctor starts writing blood pressure medication, they give the patients really good medications. Amlodipine, Norvasc. It's a calcium channel blocker that helps to. It's considered as an anti-aging drug because just it helps the heart, supports the heart, but it doesn't stop there because sometimes one medication doesn't work by itself to control the blood pressure. But the pharmaceutical industry has been very generous with studies on controlling the high blood pressure. So the combination of medication to support the high blood pressure gets to be very important to always be optimized, because unfortunately, some of the medications to control the blood pressure cause longer damage to the heart over time. And several times I have to talk to my patients and to their doctors about some optimization of what they take due to the fact that not every medication is suitable for patients, and some of the older drugs are not working as they should, and we kind of do some tweaks and changes, working with doctors, of course, to do that and getting it under control. Patients feel better, patients more energy, less stressed, and we get things under control. And most of these medications are actually generic medications that are very cheap. Insurance pays for most of them. But just looking at the high blood pressure as a main thing for the patient, not thinking that I'm taking this pill, I'm going to take it for the rest of my life and everything is going to be fine. No, optimization of medication is important. Checking your blood pressure at home is very important. And if checking blood pressure at home, I would tell patients, check it once in the morning and another time in the evening, different times through the day, and always record it. And also changing that cuff or the blood pressure device that you use every 2 years is important, because these devices get to be kind of they go bad or they have misreading after a certain period of time. So it's a deep conversation that is very important to always run with your doctor and with your pharmacist, and don't underestimate to ask questions about the amlodipine or the losartan or the candesartan with your pharmacist. Tell them about your blood pressure readings, because some of these medications have very low affinity to the receptors, meaning they are weak medications that doctors have been used to writing them. But there are better agents, and there are studies to show that there are better agents. The conversation get to also be deeper than that early, because when high blood pressure starts to be an issue and a topic and a condition for someone, it means there is change in the structure and the function of the heart. And most of the time, the medication is not changing that in the structure and the function of the heart. But that's where functional medicine can step in and where we can help with some changes.
So, Dr. Omar, what time of day? You said in the morning, do I check my blood pressure before I eat? When I get up in the morning, how much time do I wait in between after my cup of coffee or after I eat? When do I check my blood pressure during the day and during the evening? And if I check it and it's high, and you're saying that I continue to make a running tally and see how long before I see some change in my blood pressure if I'm checking it on a daily basis in the morning and I start seeing it incrementally climb. Because your blood pressure can climb and go down even on blood pressure medication, from day to day.
Great question, Earl. Best times to check blood pressure is in the morning before eating or drinking coffee or taking medications. Sit quietly for like 5 minutes first and then check it out. This shows you the true baseline blood pressure. And you can record the two readings if you want, 1 minute apart. The second time is in the evening before dinner, or at least 2 hours after eating. Make sure you relax it, not after exercise or stress. And again, you can take two readings, 1 minute apart. If you're gonna do it just one time in the day, do it one day in the morning and another day in the evening. In short, twice daily would be enough, but avoid the checking right after waking up and rushing out of bed. Many times it's at the highest at this time. Avoid the checking it right after caffeine or smoking or eating or exercise. Waiting at least 30 minutes would be recommended. All right.
But 30 minutes
Born
after caffeine? You can do it
30
30
minutes
minutes
after
after
taking
caffeine?
caffeine.
Really? Okay.
Yes.
All right.
There is a tip that I want to tell our listeners. There is a cycle for increasing blood pressure that happens overnight. If you wake up at night at like 3, 4 a.m., just go drink water and come back to bed, or go to the bathroom and come back to bed. When if you walk and you break the cycle of the 8 hours of sleep through the night, that kind of helps to normalize blood pressure. It's been proven in science that just a cycle that makes the blood pressure highest in the morning. But it's usually by like by 11 a.m. usually, if someone just wake up and they check their blood pressure, they find it highest. Now, when we check the number, we want it to be 120 over 80. Some patients, their blood pressure is normal low, but we encourage patients to be strict on 120 over 80. Some doctors, when they see the number going up to 140 over 90, they would say, okay, it's okay, it's okay. But it's not okay. We need it to be perfect, because blood pressure is long investment in your health and in any other health condition. Keeping the blood pressure normal at all times is very important. So if the blood pressure is high and we record several readings that are above 120 over 80, I recommend it to see the doctor to do optimization on the medication. There's just hundreds of medications to help control blood pressure. But there is also other things that we can do in order to normalize it, like decreasing eating the fast food. And of course, eating breakfast is important. Healthy breakfast is important. Taking breakfast full of antioxidants, vegetables, salads, all of that is really great. But I want people to focus on what foods that can help to support the nitric oxide. Nitric oxide is a gas that is produced for the endothelium, which is surrounding the blood capillaries on the inside. And this gas is helping to kind of widen the tight places in the blood capillaries and make this relaxation as a way to lower the blood pressure in a healthy way. And it's inside every capillary in the body. And we're talking about long miles of distance that the blood has to go through. So increasing nitric oxide in our bodies is very important to normalize blood pressure, but doing this helps to change the structure and the function of the blood pressure and the heart, which means you are kind of normalizing the main defect that make you take blood pressure medication in the first place.
You know, Dr. Omar, you talk about, let's talk about the tools that are on the market. They've got the regular blood pressure cups, and I don't know how, if all that they have on the market are the same, but there's also the new technology where you don't have to use it, and they say you can go on your phone and put your fingers on your phone and it'll read your high blood pressure and the new technology that's come into play. Your thoughts on all of that new technology, is it as good or as, you know, the old-fashioned way of taking it, you know, now?
That's an excellent question. And the new technology of checking blood pressure through the finger or through a wearable device, it's still not accurate yet. Actually, checking blood pressure using a cuff that goes on the wrist, these are the least accurate blood pressure devices. What is easy, have been tried and tested, and they are gold standard at home, are the upper arm monitors, the most accurate and recommended by the American Heart Association. You can use brands like Omron, Whippings, A&D. You can buy it anywhere from a department store, from Amazon, whatever. These give you consistent results, and they use batteries, and you can just change them every 2 years and avoid the rest or the finger devices for diagnosis. They can be convenient. These new technologies can look nice, look cool, but they are not accurate. They, even those companies, they tell you we're not accurate. I went to a dentist's office once, that was years ago, and she was checking blood pressure, and it was a very nice, sleek dental office. Then she came and she's checking my blood pressure, and she put this device around my wrist, and I asked her, what are you doing? She told me, I'm checking your blood pressure. Okay, tell the doctor that this is not an accurate device. And luckily, I just came back from a training session about using blood pressure machines, and I talked to the dentist, and she was kind of telling me, yes, you're right, I have to change this. So it's kind of, you go to the doctor's office and the doctor checks your blood pressure and the number gets to be recorded in a report. That is not enough, Eric. If you check your blood pressure at home, it's not even enough. There are other blood pressure monitoring devices that check your blood pressure for 24/7. And it's in some functional medicine offices that they would give a device for the patient to use at home and record the numbers and come the next day. And these are more sophisticated way of knowing the actual challenges and the dips that happen in your blood pressure over the night or the morning. So if we need to go to get more insights about the control of our cardiovascular health and cardiovascular risks. So we are now talking about the basics of what we have to do if we are taking a blood pressure, high blood pressure medication. And that is because it affects every facet of our life. So there are simple things that we can do. Take your medication every day. Make sure your blood pressure is 120 over 80 every day, and then support your nitric oxide. How do you support it? Eating foods rich in antioxidants like beets, pomegranates, all right, vegetables, salads, antioxidant drinks. There is a drink, these kind of companies that produce excellent shakes that you
Dr.
can.
Omar, you're taking all the fun out of living.
Yeah, it's that.
No, I mean, clearly these things you are saying, we've got to make adjustments because once we get the information, and that's why this segment is so valuable, is because nobody's hearing this anywhere else. Right? You're not hearing it anywhere else. And so, we think that, I was reading something the other day about boiled eggs. And you would think that, hey, for breakfast I have a couple boiled eggs, but now you turn around and find out that that's a death sentence almost. Really learning this information extends our life. And then I wanted to say, ask you, because I've been taking the high blood pressure medications that I'm taking now, I think A, not different ones, but I think I've probably been taking that same medication for about 7, 8 years. And I never thought anything, but the doctor certainly sees my blood pressure and he thinks, well, everything's all. So how do you know when maybe it's time to change it? Because as you stated, there are new discoveries and that maybe is better than what I'm taking. The doctor's not going to automatically do that.
The best thing is before you go to the doctor's office for 2 weeks, check your blood pressure normally, every day, twice a day, and take those readings to your doctor. So when they see that, they will know what is going on. Second thing that I want to tell you is there's always this question of how to eat healthy without losing the joy of living. All right. Which is a great question. But here's the thing. If we have our blood pressure and blood sugar steady, and the energy that we have is real without the dips in the energy after we eat, and if our mood is calm, we're going to be able to laugh more, think clearer, and feel stronger. And we're going to feel more empowered to kind of live healthier. I'll give you a personal example of what happened with me is that I have 4 kids and my wife is cooking for all of us, but then kids always want to eat fancy food here and there. So I just feel like when I go out with them, I eat what they eat and I feel like my energy level and I'm more nervous and I just feel like I'm not normal. I eat like kind of happy food, but at the same time something is not right. So my wife and kids, they traveled for 2 months and they left me alone without any food in the fridge. And I was like, man, I don't cook. What do I do? So I contracted one of those cloud kitchens that make you meals for the whole week, and you can choose the meals with calculated calories, proteins, fats, etc. You see exactly what you're getting. And I kind of got contracted 2, 3 companies so I would have enough food to last me for breakfast, lunch, and dinner because I go to work and then I go home. So I found myself just eating those foods, healthy foods, through the day. I found I have more energy.
So
I
you
can
found out
think clearer.
you didn't need the wife anymore, huh? But anyway, I'm
She
sorry, go
told
ahead.
me. She told me. She came back and she told me, "Don't stop this service. We're gonna keep it. Keep it." I sometimes eat from those meals that you get. Here's the thing, you know.
Go ahead.
So some people cook, but some people do not cook. But we're living in a community that we can have solutions. The challenge is that we're going to invest more money upfront to get this joy of life, but then this is going to save you later on. All right. So you invest more in your health and in your functional medicine journey in the beginning, but this is an upfront cost that I tell my patients. This is a journey that starts with proactivity, with a strong engine, so we can last longer, last happier, you know?
You know, Dr. Omar, the more I talk to you, every time I talk to you, my mind just keeps triggering, keeps, man. And so I'll think, you know, okay, so I'll soon be 72. And do I follow the Book of Hoyle in my life about all the different things that I should be doing? Not exactly. But I'm still here. I'm feeling good and strong, and I try very hard. I don't dismiss any of the conversations that you and I have had and continue to have. And you know, I know that I'm fortunate the way this life is situated. And you, if you don't take care of yourself, you know, this body, this tremendous gift that we have that's called life, it can be, it can leave you, it can be taken away. And so, you know, the fact that I'm, you know, even here this long, I think it has a lot to do with luck, but it also has a lot to do with the fact that I'm really trying very hard, because I don't know about the other side. They tell me about that land of milk and honey, but I, you know, I only know about this one. And so I'm trying to stay here as long as I can and be as healthy as I can be. And I see people, as you stated, 80, 90 years old, still lucid, still functioning. And so you don't have to give in to it, the aging process, do you?
Yes, I agree with you in this, and I tell people that the main thing is don't follow the book, all right? You just need the rhythm, the daily movement, the sunlight, the prayer, the reflection, the good food, the laughter.
Right.
You need the hope, and you need to change one thing at a time and make it a habit. So if you tell me what is the one thing that someone can do to change their lives, get rid of Diet Coke or any kind of soda in your life. That's a step. You
so
know?
Why don't step. You why don't you tell the President of the United States that?
Well, we can't tell him anything. He's not listening, Earl. He's not listening to anybody. He just wants us to listen.
Right? I mean, all jokes aside, the Diet Coke. That, you know, you see these things on television, you see all of these different things, and you can, when I was a young person, there was one area and one thing of diet. They had Diet Coke and Diet Pepsi. Now there's a whole area with diet sodas. And people are thinking that I'm doing myself a favor by not drinking the regular soda, which causes damage as well. But I, you know, the diet soda is, you know, it's better for me.
You know, the problem of the diet soda is worse than the regular soda, just because the natural sweeteners that the artificial sweeteners they use, like aspartame and acesulfam and all of that fancy names of sweeteners, they are 200 times
worse than sugar.
200 times more sweeter than sugar, and they don't give you energy, and the cells of the body are confused. The brain becomes confused, don't know what to do with these kind of sweets. So they can cause actually more weight gain, higher blood pressure, higher blood sugar, and metabolic imbalances. Wow. Because the body is not able to work with them. So unfortunately, they are giving the promise without delivering the results. And switching to just water or kind of Those there are a lot of new kind of drinks that are flavored with stevia or have other kind of, they just have the taste, but they don't have the effect of the Diet Coke and Diet Pepsi, and they are a good switch. So there is also the idea that if you go from drinking Diet Coke to drinking water within few weeks, you're gonna be fine. You're not gonna have this problem. It's not like smoking and you're stopping it. No, it's much easier and simpler than that. We see people have lose weight. They normalize their blood sugar. They have better control on their blood pressure, and they are happier.
Dr.
And you
Omar,
never see them, you know? It's easy.
let's talk about blood sugar, because what is that? And we don't often hear people talking about blood sugar. I always hear you say, check your blood sugar. Let's talk about that part of it.
They try to hide the fact that we want to talk about it just because so many foods are increasing blood sugar. So they don't want to tell you that this is the enemy for a healthy life. But the challenge is like when your blood sugar and your blood pressure go up together, it's not a coincidence. It's like chemistry. Because every time your blood sugar spikes from stress, processed food, or skipping meals, your body releases insulin to push that sugar into your cells. But insulin doesn't just lower the blood sugar, it also tells your kidneys to hold on to salt and water. And that makes your blood pressure rise, goes
Wow.
up. Over time, high insulin causes thicker, stiffer arteries, more inflammation, and narrows the blood vessels. So it's like a cycle of high blood sugar, more insulin, higher blood pressure, more stress on the arteries, even worse blood sugar control. And now we have what we call endothelium dysfunction, changing in the structure and the function of the arteries, which makes worse blood pressure. So that's why people with diabetes, pre-diabetes, or metabolic syndrome, metabolic problems in which the calories coming in and calories coming out, there is imbalance there. They often end up with hypertension as well. The same underlying process is driving both of them. So the media is telling us that salt is the enemy, or kind of, they never tell you that sugar is the enemy just because if you check the foods that we eat, the processed food, and you see that you're eating in a Coke, like 5 tablespoons of sugar. And if you take Diet Coke, you don't see any sugar. Oh, I'm good with Diet Coke then. And actually, it's worse. So the labels can be kind of defying the reality of things. And that's why I recommend to people when you go shopping, shop from the sides of the aisles, shop from the natural foods. Anything that doesn't have 5 ingredients in it, anything that your grandma wouldn't make and eat, well, it's better not to eat it yourself. And you're not going to suffer. You're going to live a happier life. That's why, Earl, because this conversation is very important because it can look redundant, but I want to tell you a story that is very important just at the end of our episode. I had a patient yesterday who was telling me about medication to help with her overactive bladder, and it was an expensive brand name. And I asked her, why do you want this expensive brand name? She told me, because I took the other one years ago that was now generic, but it didn't actually work. So I want to try this one. Okay. It's considered as a new drug, so it's fine. You can try it and we can see, but it's going to be a little bit expensive. She's like, no, it's not new. It's like 40 years old. I told her, yes, in medicine, when we have a medication that is less than 7 years old, we consider it as new because after 7 years old, you have seen enough people that took the medication and tried it to see results. And then after that, we're more confident taking it because now it's old, it's tried, we've seen the results, and we can put it in different protocols. So I want to tell our listeners, you don't need to always look for the new trend. My friends, old is gold. Always remember that when you eat and when you breathe and when you exercise.
Dr. Omar, I wish we had more time, but I'll tell you something. you're always, you know, Johnny on the spot with information, but today's topic was just, as the young people say, fire. It was, you know, I mean, the information about high blood pressure and those kind of things is just unbelievable. We got to let it go for now. Really appreciate it. And we'll see you on the other side.
Awesome. All right. See you, my friend.
See you later, my friend. All right.